Hey Joe, I like your show. I tell everybody that's my shit. And if you got a long ride and you like getting high, maybe go and take another hit. We gonna laugh out loud, that's what it's about. Nobody ain't safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause a motherfucker 6'4". Hey Joe, it's time to start the show. Up, up and away we go. Mic check and I like your flow. Everybody, here's Joe.
Hello everybody, and thank you for once again tuning in to the Joe Prano podcast. It has been a long time since I put up one of these, and honestly, I'm not even sure we can call it the Joe Prano podcast anymore. I think we're just going to call it Joe Prano's Death Podcast, since apparently the only time I do these anymore is when somebody I like or the entire world is dying. The last episode I did was a COVID lockdown content podcast. If you recall, I think I was in Alabama at the time when I recorded it, and I just put down all the things that you guys should be listening to. And before that was when the guy who hosted my first ever comedy show, Brody Stevens, passed away. And now we're a couple weeks removed from a very significant event in my life as a comedian and a fan of comedy, the passing of the late, great Norm MacDonald. Norm is a comedian who truly meant probably more to me than any other stand-up comic. I would say in the world of comedy, Dave Letterman is first and foremost my biggest influence. But in terms of being a stand-up comic, I don't think I've ever looked up to anybody more than I looked up to Norm MacDonald. And the last few weeks has been really tough from a stand-up comedy standpoint. Like, every time I think of stand-up comedy now, every time I perform stand-up comedy now, at some point in the process, whether I'm writing or whether I'm about to perform or whatever, I think of Norm. It's very weird. It's a death that hit me extremely hard. And I know hit some of my good friends in comedy extremely hard. And we're going to have a couple of those guys on the show, two of my favorite people and two of my favorite comedians and two longtime collaborators, Lachlan Patterson of Kooks of Comedy fame, and my good friend Pete Sestaro, also sort of Kooks of Comedy fame. We'll both be checking in on this show to talk about Norm. And like I said, we're a few weeks removed now from it. And it really, it hit me as hard as I think maybe any celebrity death has hit me. When Hunter S. Thompson died, it was a big one, but I was probably only halfway through his works at the time. I think if I had digested all of Hunter's stuff before he passed, it would have been even harder. Tom Petty was a huge one for me. I remember hearing about Tom Petty after just missing an opportunity to see him at the Hollywood Bowl. That one was really, really difficult. But like, otherwise, celebrity deaths don't really, touch me in a way. It's like they're a person, I didn't really know them, blah, 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 blah. But I felt like I knew Norm, even though I didn't personally know him. I met him a few times. I exchanged messages with him on social media a few times. Seemingly a great guy by all accounts. Last year in February, I believe it was February or March of 2020, I was on the bill with him at the Aspen Laugh Fest, which was truly one of my career highlights, because I share a sweatshirt with Norm, and I I was part of the same festival, and it was a small festival. So being selected to be a part of that and having Norm be one of the people meant a lot. I didn't get to perform on the show, the gala kind of opera house show that he did, but I went and watched it. And that's very rare for me to go sit down and watch somebody's entire set. And like Pete Sestaro and I will talk about, it's the single person I've ever bought comedy tickets for since starting doing stand-up myself 20 plus years ago. So a very, you know, important person in my comedy life. And I really can't even think about who else would affect me. I guess, you know, Letterman, knock on wood, hopefully outlives me, but is probably the only person. I don't know who else, like Bob Dylan, Bill Murray. Like, I don't even know who else would affect me on the level of Norm, probably just, you know, Dave. And through the last few years, Dave Letterman has really gone out of his way to show his love for Norm. Norm ended up being the last person to do stand-up on Letterman. Dave called him his favorite comedian. Dave did Norm's YouTube podcast when Dave was not doing anything. This is pre-Dave doing Netflix thing, pre-Dave doing, I think, Comedians in Cars with Coffee. Like, at post Late Show, Dave didn't do anything. And then Dave did Norm's podcast. And then apparently said during that session, like, if there's anything I can do to help this show, let me know. And it was Dave signing on as, you know, a blessing of an executive producer that got that show made into a Netflix show. You know, the Norm Macdonald podcast essentially just became a show on Netflix for however many episodes, which Dave was also on. And if you haven't seen that, you should watch it. And I know in the last few weeks, anybody who's a fan of comedy, and if you're listening to this, I assume you're a fan of comedy, has gone down the wormhole of Norm content. I've talked about it on Twitter and on Facebook and posted a bunch of stuff. And I'll talk about it with Lachlan. I'll talk about it with Pete Sestaro. So much good Norm content out there. The Netflix show being definitely one of them. I think his podcast is gone now as part of the deal for his Netflix show. But do it all. There's Norm Talk on TikTok. There's I Am Not Norm on YouTube. Dive in. Norm's the best. And you know, I recorded this parts of this weeks back, and I've been waiting to record my part. And I think what inspired me to finally get it done, in addition to just having the time, is one of my other comedy, I don't want to say comedy heroes. I don't look up to this guy like I looked up to Norm, but one of the people that I guess is maybe on my comedy Mount Rushmore, Chappelle, putting out a special this week, which I still have not watched. Perhaps in a return to the Joe Prano podcast, perhaps we will break it down soon. But I have not watched it yet. But him doing it and then sort of being out there defending it and doing this, if this is what cancel's like, I love it. And also the, you know, I just made a joke on Twitter today. I was like, the Chappelle special that he does about the response to this special, look out. Because at this point, and I love Dave Chappelle's comedy, but he's doing specials and talking about reactions to his last special. And, you know, he's a lot of people's quote unquote goat. But for me, one of the many things I love about Norm Macdonald, he would never do that. He would never, he's going to tell you a joke. Your response to the joke is what it is. He's never going to justify it. He's never going to explain it. He's never going to defend it. He, like, I mean, we're on special we're on like the fourth special of Dave talking about reactions to his last special and like clarifying things he said. And like Norm is a legend for, you know, towing the line so many times and crossing it for sure on a number of occasions, but just kind of leaving it out there, not even saying like they're all jokes, just being like, look at who I am, like without saying it. He always just like wherever Norm went and whatever Norm did, he was the embodiment of a comedian. It's gonna be funny no matter what he's doing. You can't take it seriously because he's being funny. Now, Norm doesn't have the fame at any point in his career that Dave Chappelle had. People don't break down every word of Norm's stand-up specials like they do Dave. But part of it is like, he's not going to feed into that machine. He isn't going to like talk about his own jokes. He's just going to do the jokes. And I've talked about it on a couple other podcasts already. I talk about it further on in this podcast, but that is the number one thing I love about Norm Macdonald. In addition to how smart he was, in addition to his epic, one-of-a-kind delivery, in addition to the jazz feel that I always talk about with Norm, going up and down and taking you for a laugh and letting you be quiet and offending you and bringing you back in and being, you know, being warm and then being cold and like the whole thing. In addition to that, it was just, here it is. These are the jokes. And as a comic, I think it's really hard to do that these days. It's really hard, especially with social media and the way people can slide in your DMs after a show. And we're never, ever, ever, sealed off from the criticism. And Norm wasn't either, but he would just never do it. And I mean, the amount of years he spent late live tweeting golf. I don't want to say live tweeting golf because he would start like a DVR golf event like 45 minutes late and then live tweet it. And people would just write like, you're fucking 45 minutes behind. Never reply. He would never reply, never acknowledge that that was a thing. Just, yeah. Or people being like, dude, you're blowing up my Twitter. You're just live tweeting a golf event that happened an hour ago. Never. And I'm guilty of it. You know, people slide in my DMs. Hey, this joke was offensive. And I go, here's why it wasn't. You know, this joke is sexist. Here's why it's not. People come after the show. I like this one, but I didn't like this one. Oh, what didn't you like? He's not doing that. He's not, you know, he doesn't care. And I think it's the number one thing that I will take away from it. And that all good young comedians who maybe are discovering Norm now is like, you just can't care. You just can't care. And sure, he was grandfathered in. And, you know, he set a precedent of like pushing the OJ thing too far, which, by the way, Saturday Night Live, I don't know how many fucking jokes they did about OJ last night, but is sort of almost sort of offensive to me that the second episode of the season after they do a Norm tribute, they have Kim Kardashian on and do 12 OJ jokes when you fire Norm for doing OJ jokes. Anyway, I'm all over the place, but I wanted to do an episode to talk about Norm because I don't know. I mean, I didn't, you know, we talked about him on Dirty Sports. And I've talked about him with all my friends. And this is a podcast that I wanted to do a while ago. And I started it and I felt great about it. And I fell off because of time and because of a lot of other things. But I want to get back to doing it. And it seemed like what better way to like start the wheels in motion of maybe starting to think about doing it again. Because I have a lot of people I want to talk to, a lot of people I've met, or connected with since, you know, I kind of fell off from doing it. that I'd love to do. And I'm not saying it's going to be back on any sort of schedule or anything like that, but it's an outlet and it's a place to talk about art and it's a place to talk about comedy. And it seemed like no better way to get going on that again than to talk about one of my favorite artists of all time. Norm Macdonald was a comedy artist. He was, to me, he was more than a comedian, because a comedian is just going to make you laugh. And an artist, sometimes you look at a painting and you go like, what? Like, what is he supposed to be saying here? And then people say, oh, I think he means this. And I think he means that. Or people read a book and here are the themes. And like, you know, English teachers forever, this is the theme of the book. Like, how the fuck do you know? You mean, yeah, we can assume, right? We can break it down and say, this is obviously what he meant. But like, you never, like a lot of the great artists, they never say, yeah, that's what it is. That's what that thing's about. And Norm definitely didn't do that. And that's the best part of Norm. I loved watching him. Only comic I've ever paid to watch do comedy since I started. I can't believe I'll never see him on a talk show again. I can't believe I'll never see the end of a Norm podcast where he's reading fucking ridiculous jokes he wrote. I can't believe I'll never again see, for the first time, Norm reacting to a joke that doesn't get a laugh, and me, like I'm watching the Zapruder film, try to determine if he knew it wouldn't get a laugh. Is this the response he wanted to get? Did he want groans? Did he think it would get a laugh? And now he's reacting to not getting a laugh. Like the idea that he's a comedian, I just don't think does Norm Macdonald enough credit. He is a comedic artist of, in my opinion, a level all his own. I got into this game because of David Letterman. He's why I wanted to do it. And the idea that it all came around, I had no idea that that was even a thing back in the day. But for it all to come around, that Dave, the guy who got me into wanting to do comedy, eventually, in his later years, when he's, you know, not being deferential to anybody, says that, in my opinion, the best comedian, Norm Macdonald, the last comedian to perform on my show. It just feels right. And, you know, I'm so sad he's gone. And so I wanted to talk to some of my friends who I know were inspired by him and I know who had interactions with him about him. So this is a little Norm tribute show. Norm, the goat, talking goat with Pete Sestaro and Lachlan Patterson. So I hope you guys enjoy it. And if you're still subscribed to this, I don't know if I'll promote it or not. If you're still subscribed to this podcast and you listen to this, you see it pop up in your feed and you get this far into the episode, shoot me a Instagram message and be like, I listen to the Joe Brano podcast and I like it. You should keep doing those. And if you're on Twitter, shoot me a message and say, hey, I can't believe you put out another JPP. I like these. You should do more of these. You should have Pete Sestaro on as your co-host when you can't find a guest. Because, you know, it's that stuff that keeps, like, I'm not making money off the Joe Prano podcast, you know, Dirty Sports, you know, got to pay the bills. It's nice to know people like it and people are listening, because you never know with these numbers if they're real or not. So if you like this, if you enjoy this episode, you don't have to decide right now. You can listen to the Pete and Lachlan portion. But if you like this, let me know. And maybe it will inspire more in the near future. In the meantime, rest in peace to who I believe is the greatest comedic artist I have seen in my life, Norm Macdonald. And enjoy hearing two other great comedians share my love for him. I'm now joined by not only one of my favorite people in all of comedy, but one of my favorite people in all of the world, my dear friend, my old roommate, a living legend to all people who follow anything Joe Prano does, the Pizza Stara.
Well, it's what a goddamn introduction that was.
Pete, it's great to see you. It's great to hear your voice again. I had to reach out to you. It's been a few days. It's been, you know, a week or so now. We've had some time to digest, but I had to talk to you and record the conversation about the passing of, I would assume, both of our favorite comedians, Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, I love the guy. Well, first of all, I cried when I found out he died. Our mutual friend Barty had texted me. He just texted me, fuck, just the word fuck. And then he was like, the next text was absolutely awful. And I knew something terrible. And I was like, what? And he was like, Norm Macdonald died. So yeah, I was really fucking bummed and I cried. And I can't believe how affected I was, because even though he is like our, you know, one of my favorite comedians of all time, I honestly didn't watch a lot of Norm's stand-up. I thought he was incredible on Saturday Night Live, but I just fucking love the guy, man. And in a weird way, I really identified with that guy.
The, you know, there really isn't. I said on the Dirty Sports podcast recently, I said, like, Jimmy Fallon is going to do more television this year than Norm Macdonald probably did as in his entire life. You know, when you think about all the Norm content that's out there that everybody shares. And I was surprised, actually, at how many people see, like, obviously we are Norm stans, but I was surprised at how many people really were like, oh, my God, and then shared their favorite moment, because there really isn't, you know, unless you're talking about his podcast, even his stand up through the years, there's not a ton of Norm out there. And all of it, I would say all of it in some way or another is brilliant. And it's almost great that it's, you know, there's so little of it in compared to so many other comedians, you know. It's like, it's almost better that it's like rare. It's like a rare gem.
Yeah. And I feel like so many people I know have now watched all of it several times in the last week. The big thing for me, which I think you know, was when I was in my like 20s, I'm working for FedEx in Midtown Manhattan. I leave my office and I see this long line outside of Radio City Music Hall. And I literally just said to some guy who was online, I'm like, what's going on here? And he's like, it's the ESPYs. And he's like, do you want two tickets? And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, he sold them to me. He's like, $90 each. But I called my girlfriend at the time and I'm like, you want to go to the ESPYs? And we went. And I don't even know if I'm sure I knew him because I was watching SNL at the time. But I didn't know I was going to be doing stand-up comedy one day. But I was just like sitting in the back when Norm hosted the ESPYs. And it fucking changed my life. Like, it was incredible. The guy was like shocking the entire audience. I was laughing my ass off. I kept looking around because no one around me was laughing. Like literally no one. Everyone's so goddamn uptight there. And I was just like, this is magical. Like this guy is, it's unbelievable. And I just happened to, I feel so lucky now that I was there for that. So
and,
random.
And it's become one of his signature moments. And you were in the audience for it. Now there's a lot of people who I would say is comedy has been inspired by Norm Macdonald in one form or another. I wouldn't like the thing about my comedy that I feel like I most took from Norm is how much he seemed to enjoy the not laughter parts of the show. He likes to have the downtime. He likes to take you on a ride, get you X amount of high, and then bring you back down, and then bring you halfway back up. And then when I watch Norm perform, whether it be on SNL, the ESPYs, the roasts, on, you know, as a guest, obviously in a stand-up, it's not all like hitting you hard the whole time. And I love that. I love to do the joke that I like, that no one else is going to like, and just like, give everybody a break. for you, I feel like you're one of the people, and many tried and didn't succeed even as much as I think you succeeded. I feel like Norm is a big part of your cadence, your stand-up voice in a literal sense.
I know. And honestly, I hate it when people say that, but I also know it's true, you know? And like I said, I haven't watched a ton of his stand-up, but I totally get it. And certainly the guy fucking influenced me. And maybe it all happened right then that night. But the weird thing for Norm, for me, where I feel like, and this is probably why I cried, because I feel like I get this guy. It's like the eyes, man. Like, just those eyes. Like, there's like a danger in those eyes. And I feel like that's the thing that got me. Like, that's the thing that I feel like I get. I feel like Chris Rock has that too. But just like this danger in their eyes were like, you're just, you know, those are the punches we throw. Like, I don't get in fights with people. But when I'm on stage, I can say things. Those are kind of my punches that I throw. And I feel like Norm kind of, and Chris Rock, I guess I would put in that category, do the same thing. But yeah. And I feel like a lot of times when I'm on stage, when I'm doing my best, I'm literally telling jokes for you. And I'm knowing that most people are not going to like or get what I'm doing. And I feel like maybe there's something like that too to him, where he just kind of was doing his thing, regardless of what, you know, the audience was thinking. Certainly at the ESPYs. I mean, it was unbelievable, dude. Like, no one was laughing.
He definitely is one of those guys who is so confident, I think, personally, like deep down, knowing his own sense of humor and being like, I am not going to say something I don't truly think is funny. And that's the bar. And if people don't like it, it almost makes it better. He almost seems like he feels like, I know this is really funny. So if you laugh, great. But if you don't laugh, it means that you're literally not at my level, because I know it's funny and I know I'm not wrong.
Yeah. He's also, I think, the only comedian I've ever paid to go see. And I went with you.
Yep.
And we were fucking dying, dude.
The only comic I have paid to see since starting stand-up comedy. Like, it's the only comic I think I've paid to see in probably 20 years. Which I wouldn't even, there's no one else I would pay. There's no one else I'd pay. I wouldn't pay to see Jerry Seinfeld. I wouldn't pay to see Chris Rock. I wouldn't pay to see Bill Burr. I wouldn't pay, like, I'd maybe pay if like Letterman was doing a thing. But I'm not pay, like, we were like, we're going to go see Norm.
Yeah, that was your idea too. And I'm so glad we went. And it was so funny. I remember, I think that's when that Janice joke, he was doing that joke. And that just, you know, that destroyed me.
Do you remember the first moment? I'm assuming it's SNL, or maybe it's that ESPYs moment. Do you remember the first moment where you saw Norm do something and were like, oh, this is better than something else? This, like, I like this guy a lot.
Well, I think, yeah, Weekend Update, the OJ stuff. I mean, the one that comes to mind is like, it's official. Murder is legal. But just all the OJ stuff that he was doing on SNL back in the day. And then the ESPYs. I mean, the ESPYs literally changed me. The Charles Woodson joke. I forget what else. I mean, just silly things like Michael Jordan's. The joke with Tiger Woods where he was like, you know, I feel bad for the other guys who are not Tiger Woods or something like that. Yeah. It's just like, you knew Tiger was going to win. He was just magical, man. Can't believe he's fucking dead.
It's crazy.
Sucks.
Yeah. Crazy. And then apparently, you know, fighting cancer for 10 years and not telling anybody. It's like his ultimate, like, it's such a Norm thing. It's like, no one, I feel like if he had talked to anybody about it, they would have been like, this is not the way to handle it. The way to handle it is not to just pretend you don't have cancer for 10 years and randomly die. And I can just see him like rubbing his face and like, yeah, no, I think that is the way to do it. Yeah, I'm just going to not tell anybody and then die.
I guess he was a real fucking hypochondriac too, which is a shame. You know, I know he joked about that shit a lot, but I wonder if that fucking, I don't know. You know, I hate to hear that he was that scared of dying all the time and then he fucking died. Yeah, and I think about his joke too, because I have panic attacks sometimes. I think about the heart attack joke, like where your heart attacks you, you know? I literally think about that.
The very first joke I thought of when he died was the joke that I saw for the first time when we went and saw him, and he did the thing about his dad dying and them saying, "Your dad's in a better place now." Yeah, really? He was in bed, asleep. Now he's dead on the floor. Heart attacked him.
Yeah, not a better place. The mundane, the simplicity of it, man, right? Like just the telling you exactly, walking you through each moment of how things happen in life. It's all there. And he noticed that and he just did it. And he's great.
And let me ask you something, because again, I mentioned it before, and I think I really, truly, and I tweeted this when he passed away, said, like, I have lifelong friendships that are essentially based on the fact that we both thought Norm Macdonald was funny. Because for a long time, I felt like who's your favorite comedian? Who are your favorites? And you go, oh, this guy and this guy and Norm Macdonald. You would get like a, really? Norm Macdonald? Like, you'd get that, especially from non-comics. And I feel like the world came around to Norm when the video, like YouTube and everything, you could start sharing his great moments. But like before that, he wasn't, a popular thing. I feel like a lot of our friendship is based on, you know, sort of the Norm Venn diagram of like the things Norm does that are funny, and then like where we would cross over at that. But specific, like I sit in the back of the room when you perform, and you know, like it is to me, it is like, and I look forward to watching you perform going forward, because like that'll be my Norm for the rest forever, because like I get to watch like a mini thing. Now, do you said you get that response. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think about, I'm writing a style of joke like that, I'm sounding a little bit like that, people tell me, is it ever in your mind when you're writing or performing comedy?
Yeah. So it's been said to me a couple of times, not a ton, but it has been said to me a couple of times, and I don't like it, like I said, but I certainly don't try to write in that. Although there was a joke early on in my career that I don't even know if I ever, you might remember, but I used to drive up and down the West Side Highway, and there was a huge billboard with a guy clubbing a seal. Mm-hmm. And it was like, don't wear this fur. And then I did a joke about
like, his day to day.
Yeah. Just like a day in the life of the guy. Like, well, I sit down, I have my coffee, and then read the sports page. And then I grab my wooden club and I go out there. And I bludgeon seals to death until around 10:15. And then I come back in and I take a break. And I definitely felt like at times like that felt like Norm, you know, but that's what's so fucked up about the thing for me with him is like, that's also me, you know?
Right.
Like I just get him. I feel like we're similar guys, and obviously he's a fucking comedy legend, but that's what crushed me. That's why I cried, because I feel like I just, you know, I get that guy, and I just feel like I'm similar, and I don't mean to be. I certainly, like I said, I genuinely don't even, I never watched a lot of his stand-up, but when I see him, I'm like, oh, wow, that guy and I are similar, and it's fucking weird. It's a weird thing to...
The recent Pizza Star joke that always gives me Norm chills is when you talk about... I believe it's your nephew saying how much he likes to hang out with your family. And you're like, yeah, we're totally different. Something like this. It's like, it's one of those things where it's like a throwaway. We can be more different. Like, I just like family. And you're like, yeah, we can be more different. It's one of those throwaway, but it gives me so much Norm chills. Cause like, I feel like his whole, unless he was doing old timey jokes that have these long setups and punchlines, like it's almost like an hour of stand-up that's all these throwaways, it's all tags, it's all no punchlines, it's just the tags, and it's got such a good you know, music to it.
Yeah, it's music to my ears too. And some guys are like, you know, Mitch Hedberg is like that to me, like music to my ears. But Norm is definitely like a warm blanket when I see him do his thing. And my favorite is of all the stuff he did was probably Weekend Update, just the way he would do that. Like, I feel like if I did Weekend Update, that's what I, you know, I would have done it just like that. Like, it's just like, it's, you know, there's dry wine, I guess. And we both are dry wine. And I
just, Mark Maron just put out, like re-released his Norm episode. And, Norm talked about when he got Weekend Update, or when they were thinking about giving him Weekend Update or whatever. And Lorne suggested to him doing it with a woman. And he was like, that's stupid. And Lorne was like, well, you remember Aykroyd did it with Jane Curtinback. And he goes, yeah, it was horrible. And then Lorne wouldn't give up. So Lorne was like, apparently Steve Martin was like hosting that week or something like that. So Lorne brings it up to Steve Martin and goes, hey, Steve, we've been talking about, you know, Weekend Update. I think about Norm with a woman. And Steve Martin's just like, it's stupid. It should just be him. And and Norm is literally like, I credit Steve Martin for saving, because Lorne thought he was going to get the answer he wanted and he didn't. And I thank Steve Martin for knowing how stupid that would be.
When you do me doing comedy, yeah, I feel like you're doing Norm Macdonald.
Yeah, totally.
And that's what's so weird to me is like, I hear you doing me and I'm like, do I sound like this?
Yeah.
Am I just Norm Macdonald?
I do a caricature of both of you guys. Like whenever I would do my Norm impression, and I posted this clip on Facebook and on Twitter, it's my favorite Norm moment when he did the millennial Dennis Miller. And they kept coming back to Norm as the guest throughout the years. And he took everything back to cock. Everything was every punchline. It was basically like a shortened interview where it was shortened to like 2 minutes. And he did a joke and it always ended with like somehow cock. So my Norm is always like, cock, you know, and then Phoenix is down there. He just stays down here. You know, he's kind of Norman there. He's in there. Get.
I used to do a joke about Modest Yahoo. Remember that?
It's one of my favorite all time Pizza Starro / Norm Macdonald jokes.
And Norm, I do feel like that one too is, man, I see that guy everywhere.
Yeah. Which even to this day, like, I remember how often people didn't get it, but the people who get it love it. That's the best part. It's like, I'd rather it. And that's one of my favorite parts about watching you and watching Norm is being the guy who's laughing. I'm laughing at how few people are laughing. Ain't as much, as much as I'm laughing at how much I like it. I like it more because I'm the only one liking it. It's like, it gives me so much joy. That's really the crossover for me, is like, you know, the outpouring of love for Norm was so great. And I love it. I love to know that people appreciated him. But there was something so great about all the years where I felt like so few people were appreciating him, that the people I could talk to about it made that, those conversations special, made those relationships. Right. Like, oh, we share that we love Norm, but that's what those jokes are best. I laugh harder when I like the joke and no one's laughing, and then you're laughing that I'm laughing. It's the best. That's watching Pizza Star on stage and watching Norm Macdonald do anything.
Well, thank you. Although I can tell you that it's not fun when I'm up there and you're the only one laughing.
Yeah. Well, listen, that's also where that's where the divide is, right? It's almost like Norm craved it. And for you, you're like, I just want to be doing well. I just like want to, you know, everybody wants to kill.
I'd like it if everyone were laughing, but I do tell myself, especially when you're there, but I literally try to, you know, I write jokes that I think are funny, and then I'm like, Prano thinks this is funny, and then I do it. Whereas, like, I have a suspect that a lot of people are not going to think it's funny, but if you're there, I'll like, well, I'm just going to tell jokes for Joe Prano tonight. Same thing when I tweet, like, I'm like, no one's going to get this or like it, but Joe will think it's funny. And
Joe will retweet it. And then we'll, and then we'll see how many people like it because of that.
Exactly. Well, no one's going to see it if I tweet it, but,
well, Pete, yeah. that brings us to, you know, something I wanted to talk to you about. Thank you for sharing your Norm thoughts. It's a legendary, like, it just adds to the Pizza Star legend that you were there at the ESPYs. I hope that we get to perform live comedy in each other's presence sometime soon, whether that be in New York. I know you have visits to California planned. You've already got the eyeglasses for it, that's for sure. But I feel like
the thing about these glasses is I'm losing my sight so rapidly that they probably won't be relevant next time I see it.
you'll need a new set.
Yeah, this is just like, you know, the cheater 1.5s that'll be, I'll need 1.75s tomorrow.
Well,
so don't go falling in love with these.
Okay. Just keep them colored. I like this look.
All right.
But this is my first time doing this podcast again. The last one I did, besides one I threw up during quarantine, was when Brody Stevens died. And I feel like these comedian deaths are going to, you know, it's what people I like in comedy dying is like almost recharged this podcast. So we can thank Norm for bringing this podcast back, but I had the idea already of bringing it back. And this was the spark plug that actually got it to get recorded. But I had said to you, and I hope that you'll agree to this, because this conversation is going fantastically. I still want to do Joe Prano podcasts and get some guests on and talk about art and all the things that I did originally, but it's so difficult these days. Everybody's so flaky, COVID, blah, 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 blah. I want to have a safety net for when I can't get a guest. And I think that now that Zoom and Zoom conversations are a thing, if I get this going with consistency, when I don't have a guest, I'd like you to be my, you know, co-host of sorts. When there's no guest, you just come and do like the Norm on Conan thing.
Yeah. I mean, if Lachlan gets bumped, then, you know, you need a fucking emergency guy, I'm happy to help out, man. I'd love it.
That's great. I think we'll, you know, we'll see how the Joe Prano podcast fans respond to that. We'll put it on Twitter. We'll see what kind of support you get.
Yeah, your fans have always been pretty good to me.
I mean, you have a name that they spell out in only emojis.
Yeah, I could be better than them. I've been really off of all social media. I deleted YouTube today, by the way.
Can you delete YouTube? It's still out there.
No, it's gone. I deleted it.
No, you just deleted it off your phone?
Yeah, because I'm off all social media except for TikTok. I'm huge on TikTok.
Great.
No, I'm on... Fucking YouTube is becoming, I don't know if you know this, it's becoming TikTok. Like, literally, I'm just trying to watch, like, Rory McIlroy swing videos, and they're sneaking in all these. And next thing you know, I'm addicted to YouTube. I'm literally just watching girls in baggy t-shirts and then in bikinis all day. And I feel like a loser after a half hour. So I deleted it today. And yeah, that's why I don't have Twitter or Instagram, any of those things anymore. Because, I mean, the whole world's falling apart, as you know. I mean, you're aware of this.
I am aware of this.
I don't have to tell you, but, and I think a big part of it is social media. So I'll leave the tweeting to you, and I will hide in the hedges. And when you need me, I'll come out and I'll be on your podcast as a co-host with colored glasses, who has no idea what's going on in the world of social media.
Perfect. What a great dynamic that'll be. So guys, don't tweet or Instagram or TikTok or for sure YouTube Pizza Starro. Send all your messages to me in support of Pizza Starro. Hashtag let Cestaro co-host. And we'll get it going. And hopefully we will check in with you soon, Pete. Thank you for coming on and sharing your Norm thoughts and memories. And I will absolutely be talking to you soon.
All right, buddy. Good all talking right. to you. Rest in peace, Norm. I miss you already.
With the kooks of comedy. Kooks of Comedy.
Yeah, exactly. For a Kooks of Comedy reunion, the special death episode live from California and Alaska. I wanted to have you on because I really haven't done a ton of my show in the last, I don't know, year or so. And the besides beginning a pandemic when I had been laid up with my leg, I was like, oh, quarantine. I've been quarantining for a while. Let me tell you guys how to quarantine. So I did a very special, I've already been quarantining, guide to quarantining. And before that, the last episode I did was very it was like kind of a panic episode. Like when Brody died, I was like, oh, I have a story about Brody hosting my first ever stand-up comedy performance. And it just seemed like a very weird thing to have the guy who hosted your first ever stand-up performance die. So I kind of told that story. But we recently had a death in comedy that I think affected both of us pretty greatly. We, on our former surf podcast, often talked about our love of the great, now late, Norm MacDonald.
Yeah, I don't know about you. Do you love him even more now?
I mean, it's hard not to love him even more now, especially with like this crazy cowboy in a Western, didn't tell anybody for 10 years that he had cancer. Like
the John Wayne of comedy.
Yeah. You do this rewind on like the last 10 years of his career and you think about all the things that he had done while all this was happening. And, you know, obviously he started his podcast that turned into a TV show, did the Last Comic Standing, did all these great, guest appearances, the roasts, the Letterman, the last Letterman. Like it's
have
nuts.
You been going down a wormhole?
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, it's funny because I already lived in a deep Norm wormhole. I was already subscribed to like I'm Not Norm on YouTube. And so I check in every few days and catch up. And then like the whole world's like, oh, check out this thing. And I was like, oh, I've fucking seen this one 20 times. Can somebody give me a new one? And that's when I went and I posted it on my Twitter and I posted it on my Facebook. I had to dig so deep to find it. But the Norm on the Dennis Miller Show, just doing cock jokes. My favorite, my favorite comedy moment ever.
And that gave me something more to look for, dude. I'm excited.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's funny because I even put this in my post. For so many years prior to YouTube, I tried to explain this bit to people and people would be like, I don't like, they didn't get it.
And it's unexplainable.
And if they did get it, they were like, why is that funny? But it was the millennial, the Y2K episode of the Dennis Miller Show. And it's so they did a version of a show. You know, it used to be a half hour. He would do a monologue. He would do a bit and then he would do a guest. So he did like five versions of his show in the 30 minutes and he shortened all of the bits so that like the whole thing were like 5 minutes at a time. He would do a, 30 second monologue and he was like a caveman when he did it. And it kind of took you through time. And he had a guest on for every travel through time moment. And the guest was always Norm. And Norm talked about what was going on in that time period. And the end of it was always cock somehow. So in like 1939 or whatever, he's like, Norm, you're in the big city in 1939. What's going on in New York? He's like, oh, you hear about the Empire State Building? The tallest building in the world. And he's like, yeah, that's great, Norm. And he goes, the original design called for it to be flesh colored so that the architect could lay down on the street and spread his legs and feel like he had a 200 story cock.
And Dennis know he was going to do this?
I think by the second or the third one, he started putting it together.
Oh, I got to watch this, man.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. Oh, so all cock.
I just watched a game show that I guess was just a pilot with him and Sarah Silverman. Have you seen this one?
No.
And Super Dave Osborne. They're all in this sort of vintage 70s game show set. And the host is the dude who's a great improv actor. I can't remember his name. It's all celebrity, essentially comedians panel. And then two contestants who are asked a question and their answer has to match the comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And Norm has no intention of winning the show.
Right.
And it's marvelous because everyone is getting on Norm's back for his answers. But he just continues to not pander to the game.
Now, I have to ask you, you're just a little bit older than me, but you're also Canadian. So were you aware of Norm Macdonald before the rest of us in the world who find out about Norm Macdonald essentially on Weekend Update?
I don't think so. I think Norm was famous to me personally from his stand-up on American television, because Canadian television really, there's so much comedy. It's, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to break out in Canada from the pack, the herd of comedians. Whereas that's why I think a lot of them go south, is because they know that it's almost like same with me too. My dad never believed that I would make it as a comedian until he saw me on the Tonight Show. But I was doing it for 10 years or more.
Yeah. You're making a living doing it, but
my own dad.
Yeah.
But whatever. So no, I knew Norm like you, watching television, and hopefully someone recorded it and said, did you catch Norm on that show? And, or have you seen Norm stand up on the Tonight Show or on Letterman? Actually Letterman probably. I mean, he was on Star Search. Have you seen a Star Search?
No.
I watched that today.
That's incredible. That's got to be early.
Yes. And there's an interview with Norm 10 years later about him remembering Ed McMahon and bombing onto the Star Search.
And was it at that point in his career very early? Is he already a fully developed Norm comedic brain? Or is he still
I could tell that show, you get 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes at the most. And so a young Norm is rushing these wonderful, he can't be rushed.
Right.
Can you imagine Norm being told today to do a 3 minute bit?
Yeah, it's absurd. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about it. That is my single favorite thing about Norm is his ability, his almost need, his want to have there be lulls, purposeful, quiet time, almost purposeful bomb segments, as if to be like, rest a little bit, or don't like this one, or you can't stay hot the whole time, or it loses the charm of it. And he would go down and he'd make you not like one, and he'd make you like the next one. And then it's just like it was a jazz feel to it.
To have you never know what his intentions are.
I did the Aspen Laugh Fest in 2020, and Norm was one of the headliners. And sadly, not like the headliner. I even put it on Twitter because at the time, they gave us a sweatshirt with all the performers on the back, and it started with Trevor Noah and then Norm Macdonald. And I took a black Sharpie and was like, not on my sweatshirt. On my sweatshirt, it goes Norm Macdonald to start. So wow. I took out Trevor Noah, but he did this thing in the, you know, his gala performance or whatever it was, the Opera House performance. He said up front that he had pork for lunch and that he had pork stuck in his teeth. And then he had like bits about it. He had like jokes. And I was like, okay, this must have happened a couple days ago or last week or 2 weeks ago or whatever, because he's got jokes. Like, he's got like well-crafted pork in my teeth punchlines. But yet the whole show, after he gets away from this bit, between every single bit he would do, he would dig pork out of his teeth. So I was like, one of two things is happening here. Either he's purposely faking pork out of his teeth between bits to remind you of this bit he did, or he actually has pork in his teeth and he wrote fucking killer jokes about it today.
I mean,
and I don't know which one is the right answer.
Or a third one, to keep the bit, he had pork again.
Yeah. And he chewed it in a way to get it caught again.
He just had more pork.
Now, the real reason, Lachlan, that I was like, I have to talk to Lachlan about this, is at some point over our friendship or in the Kooks of Comedy recordings, you told me an incredible Norm MacDonald story about when you opened for Norm MacDonald. Do you know? I assume you know the story I'm talking about.
It was the first and last time I ever got to open for Norm MacDonald.
Where did this happen? And can you tell us the story?
Sure. I was at Irvine Improv, and I was a young comedian in LA and calling in for avails. And they said, I got is hosting in Irvine. And I said, I'll take it. $50 a show. You know, and I know it costs you about $30 to get there and back.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever.
They charge you for dinner.
they tell me the next day that I'm going to be opening for Norm MacDonald, and I would have paid, you know?
Yeah.
So I was so excited. The first show I got down there, and he walks in, and he's right away, he's like, who are you? But in like a bully, but in a funny way. It's so funny that I mean, anything that came out of his mouth, I was dying. He was my hero, my God. And so I said, do you want me to get out of the green room? He's like, no, you're fine. And we go into a conversation, and he finds out I'm also Canadian, and then he befriends me, and we start talking, and we're having a great time. So such a great time that the guy who drove him, his opener, I could tell he didn't like it. And so he didn't like me.
Yeah. He's got Fabio in the green room. Fabio's right. Canadian, you know.
Totally. That was all going on. And anyway, so I'm hosting. So I go do five. I come back and we start talking again. And while we're talking, he goes, hey, do you got any weed? And I said, no, because at the time I didn't really smoke weed. And I definitely never bought weed. And he goes, can you get some? And I said, okay, even though I had no idea where to get any weed. And then I went and brought him on stage. And so while he was on stage, I was like, oh, fuck, I got to go find some weed right now.
There's two shows.
There was just one show this night. Okay. This is Thursday night.
Okay.
And so I really wanted to watch his set. So I ran to the DJ and I said, hey, do you have any weed? And he goes, no, I can get some tomorrow, though. And I said, great. I mean, I said, oh, shit, because Norm was asking for it tonight. And I said, you can't get any tonight? He goes, no, I can't. And I go, okay. And that was it. That was it for me.
I mean, just think about if it happened today, you'd be like, I'll just get on Ease and have it delivered to the back door of this comedy club with tater tots.
Right. It was asking if the DJ said no back then, it was hopeless.
Yeah.
So, I remember feeling like I had let him down already. I let my hero down and I felt horrible. That's how much I looked up to him. I watched the show, died laughing. After he gets off, he goes, hey, you got that weed? And I said, no, but I can get it tomorrow. And he goes, fuck, man. Like, he was really upset, but he was like so funny when he was upset. When he bullied you, you enjoyed it. Anyway, he said, all right, fine. So the next day I got down there early and I said to the DJ, you got the weed? He gave me the weed and he goes, $50 or something like that. I can't remember, but I was like, fine. It was all the money I had made the night before. I didn't care. Norm comes in and he goes, you got that weed? And I said, yeah, here you go. And I just handed him a bag of weed. And he goes, oh yeah, I don't know how to roll a joint. And I said, well, I don't either. And he goes, well, how much do I owe you first? And I said, don't worry about it. He goes, please let me pay you. He was very insistent on paying me. And I was very insistent on saying, don't pay me.
Yeah.
Was I wanted to give him something because I loved him so much. So him accepting that was awesome. But then him asking me to, he goes, can you roll it? And I said, I don't know how to roll. That I was done. I definitely couldn't roll a joint. I didn't smoke weed. If I did, if someone handed me a joint. But it was Norm MacDonald. He goes, well, I can't roll. And I said, all right, I'll try. And so I go, I think I went to bring Jordan, his opener up. And then I came back and I started rolling. And he came around the corner and I couldn't roll. I didn't know what I was doing. I made a mess. It was so ugly, this joint. It was like so shitty. And I go, he comes in, he goes, you got that joint? And I go, here it is. And I hand it to him. And like weed is falling out of it as I'm handing it to him. And I go, there you go. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, what the fuck is this? But in that wonderful Norm sense of humor. So I was like smiling. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. That's
looks like a little cock.
Yeah. It's like, I can't smoke this. And I said, well, I don't know what to do, Norm. That's the best I can do. And right then the DJ walks up behind both him and me and goes, hey, you guys want to go smoke? And in my head, I just like a gun went off. Like, God, why didn't I just ask him?
Yeah, you had that idea last night. And you're like, I should have run my first idea back. The DJ is always a drug dealer.
He also smokes it. All right.
Surely he would know how to roll one.
Right? Anyway, he's got holding up a pipe. And Norm goes, yeah, let's go. And he goes, and him and the DJ go to leave out the back door. And he turns and goes, come on. And I was excited. I was like, oh, cool. I'm going with Norm. And I go, but I didn't want to smoke weed. So I made it clear, I don't want to smoke any weed. And he goes, ah, come on, man. This guy, I don't know this guy. Just come with me. And so I came to his car. So the DJ had a car in the parking lot and we were all sitting in it. It was like a Ford Escalade, Cadillac Escalade.
Sure.
One of them big back then when you could finance an Escalade for like $99 a month.
Yeah.
Pre-collapse of the economy. And this guy had the DJ at the comedy club could afford one of these things with a 22-inch rims and the whole package. It was amazing. You could drive around like a prince.
Well, he's also selling weed. So you remember that. He's also a drug dealer.
Good point. So he goes and lights the joint. I'm sitting in the back alone, and Norm and him are up front. We're all talking about comedy, I guess. And he lights the joint or the pipe, smokes it, passes it to Norm. Norm smokes it, takes a lit smoke, and then he turns and passes it back to me. And I go, no, thank you. And he goes, come on, just smoke it. And I go, I really shouldn't. And he goes, just smoke it for me. And I was like, it's Norm fucking MacDonald. All right.
Got peer pressured by Norm.
Yes. So I smoked it. And then I handed it to the driver. He smoked it, handed it to Norm. Norm took another hit. Norm passed it back. And I said, I'm good. And he goes, what is your fucking problem? And I go, I still got to go up and bring you on stage. And, you know, I did 15 off the top or whatever. And I just want to make sure I don't repeat anything. I'm paranoid about repeating jokes. It's just always been my fear, my number one fear. And he goes, that's a fucking bullshit. That's a load of crock. I've never heard of that. That's ridiculous. Smoke this shit. It was like Denzel Washington in Training Day. Yeah. So I smoked it. And then right away, I was like, oh, man, I'm so fucking high. I was way too high. And I passed it up to the DJ. And this is how high I was. I had just brought the opener up. We went outside, had a couple of puffs. And the opener was supposed to do like a half hour.
And you're panicking that it's over. And
exactly. I got to get there. They're already looking for me.
Yeah.
The whole club is looking for me to get on stage in my head when... and they're like, and the DJ is like, look, man, I run the light, so you don't have to go back till I go back. And I'm still like, well, we all got to go back. Like I'm an idiot. So we go back. And, as soon as we go back, the guy's still got like 15 minutes on stage.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's how high I was. I was like, oh shit. All right. Well, and I turn to Norm and I go, hey, I'm just going to bring you up if that's cool. Because I was a young comic and I was nervous. And he goes, no, do 5 minutes in between. And I said, thank you. I'd rather just bring you up if that's okay.
Your relationship with Norm Macdonald was, no, I can't. I must insist the thing that I thought.
And it never worked for me. Every time I tried to stand up for myself, he'd be like, no, just do five. And I said, okay. And so I did. I'm about to go on stage and I'm trying to calm myself down. And I say to myself, just do 5 minutes of material you haven't done in years. And then there's no way you did it before you brought on his opener. So you'll be okay. And so every joke, I got up on stage, I had to do 5 minutes. Every joke, I was so high, I would tell the joke and then I would wait for the audience to laugh. And their laughter made me confirmed that I didn't repeat a joke. But until they laughed, I didn't know. I was just blindly walking through a dark hallway. It's horrible. I hated it. So when the 5 minutes was up, I was like, all right, you guys, very excited. You're a comedian. You're here to see. You know him from, you know, all of his credits. Please welcome Norm Macdonald. And I point to him and the audience claps and I watch Norm walk the other way. And someone had to turn him around and push him the right way. And to this day, I don't know if that was Norm fucking with me.
He's doing walk onto the stage bits.
Right?
For like, one guy.
For one guy.
He definitely knows how to get on stage.
To this day, Joe, I have no idea if this whole story is Norm fucking with me.
Yeah. Like the pork. We'll never know these answers. We'll never know.
So he gets on stage and I mean, the audience is hot. He goes in his first bit. It's about, it's something about memory and remembering things. And the audience loves it. And the weed is working for him. I'm very happy that the weed is working for him because I was worried that I might be contributing to his, you know, addictive chemical, whatever.
Right.
And I didn't know at the time, but that he is a recovering alcoholic, perhaps. It's very mysterious as to Norm's history. And so I'm kind of just a passenger on this ride. I watch, though, and I'm loving it. And then he gets the light. Everything's great. Home stretch. And he starts going into a bit that is very similar to the bit he opened with. And it's, I think the audience realizes it as well, that we're all listening to him do the bit that he started with. And all of a sudden in the kitchen, I'm talking like 50 plates crash to the ground and a garbage can. And there's a huge noise. And Norm stops for the noise. And I think, oh my God, that was close.
You saved by the plates.
This, what a great place for him to move on. Almost like God broke those plates.
Yeah.
And just said, don't, you're doing too well, Norm. He goes back into the bit.
Oh, no.
The bit is also about something to do with memory. So the audience is still like, not sure if this is him forgetting that he did a bit.
Or if this is part of a bit.
Right.
Yeah. Which
I still don't know.
Yeah.
He continues to tell the joke. It starts to start to smooth out and realize it's almost word for word the beginning. He delivers the punchline. It's exactly the same punchline as he told it in the beginning. The exact same joke. The audience is stunned. My jaw is, you know, in, on the floor. He goes, good night. He closes on it. He walks off the stage. His opener goes, you told the same bit twice, you idiot. Because he was confused. And he looks right at me. He looks right at me. And I'm freaking out. And he looks at me and he goes, this is because of you. And to this day, I don't know if he was fucking with me.
It's amazing. It's amazing. That is, I feel like it's such a testament to his genius that in any person's in this story about any other person, with maybe the exception of like Andy Kaufman,
right,
you would just be like, oh, he got fucking stoned, he did the bit twice, it just so happened we talked about it. But with Norm, you're like, did he do an elaborate bit just to fuck with me?
One bit. Keep in mind, he, the more I watch of him on YouTube and see him do kind of this kind of thing with people where he fucks with them, even if it affects the quality of the bit.
Yeah.
It's more about making a moment here with this person, whatever. Yeah. And the more of this stuff I watch on TV, him purposely accepting failure in return for being legendary, the more I wonder if that bit was just because he wanted to fuck with me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get it.
And you don't get it. And the room for sure doesn't get it.
They don't get it. No,
but there is a strong chance that he put the laughter of 400 people at the old Irvine Improv or whatever aside and was like, I'm going to fuck with the opener who I made get me weed, refused to smoke it with me.
Forced them to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great story.
Maybe he felt that he had fulfilled his duties on stage, and to himself, he's like, I crushed and the place is happy. Everyone seems very satisfied. How about one for Lachlan?
Yeah.
Or me or whatever. How would I just fuck with this kid? I don't know. But I love him, and I regret that I didn't get to work more with him. I feel like if I had just stood my ground, maybe his management would have seen me as more of a good influence on him and let me hang around more.
He definitely seems like the kind of guy who's making all those decisions on his own. He's not, like, there's probably not somebody that's managing him and getting a whole lot of say. I listened to another podcast where his like producer, longtime producer, Daniel Kellison, like talked about him and said, like, he pretty much exclusively ate like ice cream bars.
He
couldn't even like eat regular food. Like he was almost, he was almost like not human. And that,
well, who was his partner? Who was his partner in crime?
There was some,
the only time I saw him outside of that was with, what's his nuts from, Artie Lang.
Yeah.
Artie and him were bros.
Yeah. And Dirty Work. And yeah, it's unbelievable. He's truly, and I've said this before, and I tweeted it even when it happened. I was like, I have lifelong friendships that are like the foundation of those friendships are, we both think Norm Macdonald's hilarious. And it's like, he's the kind of comedian where it's like, no one's just like, hey, we both think Kevin Hart is funny. It's like, oh, cool. That's not like, but like you find somebody and you both think Norm's like a legend. You're like, okay, I know I'm in a safe space here comedically where we can all do the same kind of bits together and fuck with each other and whatever, because this is the kind of thing we think is funny. But
the lovable loser. Sorry, go ahead.
And I said the same thing that you said when you just said, you know, I wish I'd got to work with him more. It's like the very first person in comedy. I mean, there have been people who died where I was like, oh, wish I got to see Tom Petty on stage one more time. Wish I got to read, you know, one more book with this guy. Norm is the first person in comedy that I was like, oh, fuck, I'll never, you know, get to open for him. I'll never get to do a festival with him again. I'll never get to talk with him. I'll never get to smoke weed with him. Like, it's the first person ever in comedy I was like, oh shit, this is a big deal that like he's been pulled out of our world. Lachlan is emotional.
Oh yeah. Man, I don't cry, but
Pete, I talked to Pete Sestaro earlier tonight. He's going to appear on this episode as well. He said when he found out, he cried. It's crazy. It's crazy. This is how great he was. And I'm thank you for coming on and telling that story, because I've remembered it ever since the first time you told me it. I was like, such a fucking brilliant Norm thing. It's like, you know, don't like the one thing that I'll say is, I think the same thing that we're feeling like, wow, sad. But you got that one. So you don't get the other one you dream of doing or the thing that you were going to say next time, but you have an incredible tale of Norm that may be in a hour and 15 minute long con of you, like, or 2 day long con of you. Who knows?
It was never, I never felt like a con. I mean, he brought John Landis in the green room, and when he went and on stage, John Landis and I shared a plate of chicken tenders. It was amazing. And I didn't, at the time, I didn't recognize him. He goes, "This is John Landis." And I didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Do you know who John Landis is?" And I go, "No, I didn't trigger in me." He goes,
"Yeah.
How the fuck do you not know who John Landis is?" Like he was ribbing me right in front of him. And then he gives me his resume and I felt like an idiot. And, but you know, he just a genuine nice guy. And what a weekend. What a great weekend.
That should be in all your comedy bios. The end of it should be, "Sure to play the chicken fingers with John Landis."
I paid for those.
shared his chicken fingers with John Landis.
He ate my chicken fingers.
Hey, Landis, get your own fucking chicken fingers.
John Landis ate my chicken fingers.
Well, Locke, we'll keep it brief. I really wanted you to tell that story. I know he was he's one of your comedy idols, like you is mine. I think, like I said before, definitely foundational comedy, like connector. When I found out you also enjoyed Norm, I was like, "Oh, this guy's cool. Yeah, he's all right. Looks like a model, but he gets the good ones."
Thank you.
So you have a fantastic time up there in Wasilla, Alaska.
Yeah, it's cool. I'll tell you, any tips for me about Everett's? It was Everett's you did, right?
I did Everett's, yeah. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the only tip I have for you is that a swinger slipped me a note after the show, which I thought was cocaine. So I didn't open it for a while until I thought I was in a safe space, but it turned out to be a note that said, "Share my wife tonight?" ?
Way.
Yeah. And after the fact, we were like hanging out way later and I opened it up thinking it was drugs and was like, "Hey, I think some guy gave me cocaine if anybody wants or needs cocaine." And I was like, "Oh, just kidding. It's an invitation to fuck his wife." And we had the best time breaking down the scribblings and the heart. She definitely wrote it and gave it to him to give to me. It was
what?
Have you done Coots or you're going to do Coots?
Doing Coots on Friday and taking off that night, I think.
To bring it all back.
Coots on Thursday, Wasilla on Friday. Thank you.
To bring it back to the only time in my life I ever thought I might be repeating a joke was when I just did Coots. I think it was in May, because they sent so many drinks to the stage.
Oh my God.
By the end of the second show, I was like, "I'm fucking wasted, guys. And I don't know what I've said on this show, last show, yesterday. Like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. I got to get the fuck out of here." And it was great. And I didn't repeat myself, but I was worried that it was that same feeling. I'm just going to assume if you guys are laughing that you haven't heard it yet.
Oh, that's the worst place to be. Oh, man.
So be careful. Don't mention any alcohol on stage at Coots, okay, or that alcohol will come to the stage.
Good to know. Thank you.
I said Fireball. They sent like 12 Fireball shots. So I started the second show by saying, "If this is how you guys act, you should know I also like blowjobs." And then a whipped cream shot came to the stage. I was like,
"That's a shot."
Poor choice of words.
And blowjob is a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on, Locke. Thanks for telling the story. And no problem. I'll see you when you're back here on the mainland.
Back to my romance novel.
Yeah.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
Oops.
Hey, Joe, I like Joe's show. I tell everybody that's my shit. See, I had a long ride, turn the volume up high, and the time flew by so quick. I laughed out loud, that's what it's about. I really don't feel safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause he drinks till he hits the flow. Hey Joe, it's time to stop the show. Pack it up and away we go. Donate cause we almost broke. Everybody, that was Joe.